broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman. Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D.
I'm just going to cut it off.
All right, we're just cutting it off. So are we on air?
You're on air, yeah.
We're on air, and hey, look, we're having some transmitter problems, and so it may cut out. Just hang with us if it does. Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law. Big D is back. I want to thank Danielle for hanging out here for the last 2 weeks, taking over for me, but I am back. Next week I'll be gone, but then after that I'll be back, hopefully for good. So with me, wow, a panel of attorneys, man. I'm telling you what, if you were an ambulance chaser attorney, man, y'all would just fit right in here with these guys, man. I'm telling you, I'm not lying either. Look, check it out. It's the real deal, Josh O'Neill, local Cullman attorney, along with Blazin' Blake West.
Did y'all get them capes yet or something?
Yes, we do. And the one and only, the marvelous Melvin Hastings. Now, they're either boxers or they're a trio of professional wrestlers. But now, y'all do know I was a professional wrestler at one time back in the 90s, in case you didn't know
really?
That.
I was aware of that.
I was. And it was fun. It was a fun couple of years. I wrestled with all the big guys from WCW and the WWE, and it was fun, and my body was getting too old to get beat up. So,
did you wrestle Tom Drake?
No, I did not. He was probably the only ones I didn't. But yeah, I wrestled with those big famous guys, you know. Because, of course, a lot of them, you know, they get in trouble, you know. And look, they're making $500,000 million a year. They get in trouble. They get fired. A week or two later, they're wrestling with me. How sad is that?
Was that at Brewer High School?
Well, we mainly done North Alabama. I worked for a company called American Championship Wrestling.
In the 70s and 80s, I used to go to Brewer High School and watch them. Bullet Bob. And
yeah, I've wrestled with Bullet Bob and all of his sons. And
there was a place in Johnson Crossing, wasn't it? Or somewhere down Phelan or something.
Yeah.
There was a place down there.
Yep, there was.
Did you ever see Tom Drake wrestle?
I don't remember. I was such a kid, I don't remember. He probably did.
I'm a little older, yeah. My grandpa used to take me to see Tom Drake wrestle. He was
the Coleman Comet.
When did he retire?
Oh, it's been a long time ago.
Oh, it had to have been.
But the thing I remember when I was a kid that you still know is his hands. You know how big his hands and fingers were.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a little kid and shook hands with him, I knew it then, and I could still remember it.
Wow.
Yeah, he was the Cullman Comet. I never heard of that.
Cullman Comet.
Yes, and what happened is I think a couple years ago, one of my boys Spencer had to do a paper on a famous person from Cullman. So I was like, man, do one on Tom Drake. So we got to researching, and it's come up, the Cullman Comet.
How about that?
Yes. I didn't even know he recognizes that, but we did a paper on him.
How about that? Well, it's good to be back in studio with all you guys. Three at one time. We're just going to talk about this and that. Josh, quit looking at your watch, man. You need to relax a little bit.
I wasn't looking at the time. I was just, it just bothers me. It's so big when you turn it this way. It's hard.
Okay.
Melvin plays with the cord
all the time.
Well,
Josh is over here messing with his
watch.
Josh
is fresh off of his trip to Las Vegas where he won some poker tournaments.
How much you win?
We split a smaller tournament, the Golden Nugget. I think it was a shade under 7K.
Wow, so good job.
It's good. It's good.
So now, what was it, a big tournament?
There was, at the World Series, the way they do it is because the series draws so many people, every big casino poker room in town runs some sort of tournament circuit. So, and they try to schedule the times where if you play an event at the World Series, then you can go across town and enter another tournament and then, you know, back and forth. Okay. and compete. Some people that like certain games that may come into town that are seven-card stud players, you know, because everybody that's anybody from all over the world is there. So, okay, some people don't like that. So another casino run a hold'em tournament that day to get those people.
Right.
So we won an event at the Golden Nugget. It had about 410 people, I think.
Wow.
So it's good.
God rest the soul of my brother, but he was a huge poker player, and he would go to Tunica all the time and would walk out a winner by himself. And I can't tell you how many times he won tournaments over there. It was just, but you know, he had the good poker face, you know, and he'd walk out with 5-10 grand, and he'd done it many times. But hey, not me.
It is. It's a hard way to make an easy living.
Yeah, yeah. I personally like the blackjack table and the crap table. That's usually what I play whenever I go. So
I prefer the buffet table.
You know, Blake, I have a feeling you like playing bingo. Is that true?
No, I keep playing bingo.
Well, at the buffet, you always come out a winner.
That's right.
You do.
I always win at the buffet.
Mm-hmm. You go in there, spend about $20, and they'll maybe give you a little comp for a free buffet. And look, that's the way it is in Tunica, okay? Like the regulars over there, and you know who they are, by the way. Like, they're there every day. Like, I had this lady sit by me one day, okay? And we're at the blackjack table. I'm there for like 10 hours. And this little old lady pulls a $5 bill out and throws it, you know, on the black. And she won a little bit, and then she lost it. And she's pulling out another five. And I'm like, how many fives you got in that purse, lady? But you know she's a regular there getting that free buffet 7 days a week. But that's living a good life, I guess.
There's only so many Social Security checks that can go around and be converted into $5 bills and $1 bills.
Yes.
Well, look, we have several topics that we're going to talk about. I think we're first going to hit on this Baccarat thing. Where an atheist group has Alabama High School in its sights over graduation and prayer. All right, let me tell you something. I don't need no atheist group telling me what to do. Okay, let's just go ahead and start with that.
From Wisconsin, mind you.
Yeah, and they're coming to Alabama to Opp High School, giving their letter. You know, to me it's more they want to antagonize the school and kind of bleed their beliefs into you, which, you know, if you're an atheist, you don't have any beliefs. So there you go. So, Melvin, why don't you tell me what you've read about this and kind of where you think the direction that they're trying to go.
They are saying in their letter that a school-sponsored prayer, school-sponsored prayer at graduation, school-sponsored baccalaureate at the school, and I think they're just saying baccalaureate services, period. It's not just confined to the school. Is violating the establishment clause saying that of the Constitution saying the government can't sponsor it and do it, and they're, I don't know if they threatened suit. They sent a letter to the superintendent of the Opp City Schools there on June 5th, I think, telling them that somebody was offended, I guess.
Blake, is there anybody offended at Coleman every day?
No, Coleman is offenseless.
So, you know, yeah, you're right. They're just trying to antagonize. They're sending a letter to see what they're going to do. You know, it's just like a chess game. Well, here's your letter. What are y'all going to do?
Right.
You know, what do you do if you're the attorney for Opp City Schools? You know, one part of me says I just throw it in the garbage. What happens, you know. Then do you send them a letter back and antagonize them back, you know, what are they going to do? You know, in their letter, they said they got, what, 29,000 members nationwide. Well, how do you know that? They may not. And right. Who is a member? What kind of financial? I think, if I'm not mistaken, this may be the same group. Was it last year that they, or year before last, they sent a letter out to a local town, maybe a Marshall County town, or somewhere over in East Alabama that had a Christian flag flying at their city hall or county, whatever, as a municipal hall. and they was offended by that. But I hope, but my memory serves me correct, they may have removed that flag. I wouldn't have done it.
What happens most of the time is the school, like the school system at Op or this town, they don't want to pay the legal fees, so they just cave in to any crazy request that's made.
Yes.
I mean, I think that some of the requests that people make are not reasonable to us, but are following the law about some of the government-sponsored religious activities. But instead of fighting other things that could be fought, people just give in because they don't want to spend the money.
So, and in this, it says graduation ceremonies cannot include scheduled prayers. So, Josh, won't you give us your analysis of prayer in school, and then tell and these outsiders, atheists, coming in saying you can't do it?
Well, you know, if you read some of those decisions and some of these, it talks about how you can have. If you notice, they've gone away from one, it can't be led by the faculty. That's pretty clear in the law. But you can have student-led things, and you can have moments of silence. You can do that. I would think that, you know, and I look at it from the standpoint, too, of if you don't want to go, don't go.
Right.
You know, because, you know, Baccarat is the night when everybody goes out and gets trashed when it's over, too.
Probably.
So it's hypocritical to have a prayer service there anyway. But
only Josh.
And it's not part of the graduation.
No, it's a separate. And that's another thing. It's a separate service from the graduation itself, and I'm sure it's not mandatory.
I'm sure it's not, but aren't most of these in Coleman held at churches now?
That's the problem.
All the ones that I heard of were held at not at school.
Right.
Because I think we actually had it at Coleman High School when I graduated, I think.
We did it at West Point in 1981.
We did it at Fairview.
You graduated West Point in 1981?
No, Blake did.
Yes.
I was 10 years old in 1981. I was probably graduating elementary school, maybe.
That's a year old.
I was graduating kindergarten. He's graduating.
That's why you didn't see Tom Drake wrestle.
I was born in 1981.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, can I put my 2 cents in on
go
this?
Ahead. Go ahead.
This is what I've always said. Here's a problem with way people do these things. If the school says, hey, we're going to have prayer, we're going to do this and do that, you can't just say, oh, we're going to have Christian prayer. I mean, if someone comes in and says, well, if you're allowing Christian prayer, then you have to allow Buddha prayer, you have to allow Islamic prayer, you have to allow this and everything else. So you got to be careful when you're walking a fine line. But this is what I say. If I was the attorney for Op, I'd say, look, don't do it at the school no more. Don't do it, find a church to do it. And number two, don't advertise it. Don't put it in these, to this letter, attached to this letter is the graduation ceremony thing and everything else. It says opening prayer and all that stuff. Just don't advertise it.
Right.
Do it.
Just do it.
Just do it and don't advertise. You know, and the other thing, a lot of this school-led prayer stuff, the way it came in, these decisions started coming out in 71, like Josh said, a lot of Supreme Court stuff was coming out. And then, so here we are in Alabama, some legislature wants to get reelected, and he says, all right, I'm going to pass a law that says you have to open school with prayer. Well, you can't do that. I mean, that's just obvious. You can't do that. And that's what led us into this thing. So they say, all right, the U.S. Supreme Court says, well, you can't do that. And he says, all right, then we're going to open school with a moment of silence, and then if somebody wants to pray. You don't have, the First Amendment says you can't make a law. Just leave it alone. Right. Do this stuff and leave it alone. Let these idiots file their lawsuits, and you request a jury. And then you're going to have – can you imagine an Alabama jury with a bunch of guys from Yankees from Wisconsin coming down here saying,
I'd love to be there. They're going to lock that prayer in that school down there. They ain't going to do it.
So right. They're going to convince a jury to – So was that like the bleep button when Blake started cussing me out? They just bleeped it out. Thank you.
Well, look, we're going to use that excuse, but
that was so powerful. You knocked us off here. No, I wish.
Actually, we got attacked by an atheist group, and they were throwing rocks at our tower.
It was a Russian.
Or the Russian. Look, atheist Russians. That's what it was.
And Jay fought them off.
And Jay took a bow and arrow out there, and he got them away. So now they're up on 157, fixing to go to the Cracker Barrel. So I'm kidding. So anyway, we're still talking about this, the graduation thing, and the whole religion, being in the schools, and you don't want to set a precedence for Christianity when there could be other Buddhists. And so, Josh, why don't you just tell us what you said during break?
What I was saying is, you know, if you read the First Amendment, what it says is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, which what that means is you can't establish a state religion. You're free to allow religious activities and religious ceremonies. You just have to be fair to everybody involved.
Right.
You know, so one question that would come up in the op case, well, is there anyone who says, I want something else? You know, are you saying you can't do these religious activities, but we're going to do these? Who knows?
So now, isn't ops a place where they do the rattlesnake radio? So we can get all the atheists down there, break out the rattlesnakes.
Maybe they're handling snakes. I mean, I'd be writing some letters too if they were doing that.
That would offend me if I went to church and they were handling snakes.
Yes, I'd be very offended.
I would say I'm offended, y'all,
and I'm out here.
Oh me! Look, I don't care if it's a green snake. Okay, I'm out. So Danielle and I were on Smith Lake, and I see this, I don't know, look, it may have been a piece of cotton, but it looked like a snake to me, okay? She said, it's not a snake. So the next week we go back, and I'll be dang if there's not a snake out there by the dock swimming. She says, no, that's a snake. And I'm like, I'm out of here. Like, I start walking off the dock. I'm not lying.
Something else Melvin was talking about when he said that, you know, when these Supreme Court cases come down and somebody in the legislature who wants to get reelected says, I'll pass a law that says this or that.
Right.
The state of Alabama wastes an incredible amount of money with certain senators and representatives' ignorant tirades to get themselves reelected, who pass laws that are that there's stuff that I know we've read, and the first time you read it, you're like, that's unconstitutional, and it'll get struck down. Well, the state has to defend it, and they have to spend all this money, but this person passed this law that he knew was unconstitutional because he knew it would help him get reelected.
Exactly.
And the people who write the laws, I've talked to some of those folks, and they're not allowed to question the constitutionality of what these people ask them to write.
And no one would vote against it because, like, they passed a new right to life, thinking that they're going to stop abortion. Well, they're not.
Yeah.
Does that mean that I'm in favor of it? No. But the law is that it's going to happen. People are going to be allowed to do that. So why are we wasting time and money fighting something that we can't fight?
Yeah.
Let's do it a different way. Let's encourage adoption.
Yeah.
Don't go tell people, no, you can't have an abortion. Look, if someone doesn't want to be a parent,
right?
I've worked for DHR long enough to know I don't want them to be a parent either.
Exactly.
Let's give them another option. Let's spend money doing that instead of spending money trying to fight the U.S. Supreme Court when we're not going to get there.
Well, and
can I get an amen?
Amen. Well, okay. You pass laws to make adoptions easier.
Yes.
Adoption is very difficult and very expensive, even if it's a consented adoption. If the parents are in consent, it's still very costly and time-consuming.
All right. So, side note. Tell me, why does everybody go to Czechoslovakia and everywhere to adopt kids when there's thousands upon thousands here in America?
Cheaper.
I mean, are you just jumping through loops with money or what?
They want babies, or they want something, or they're not aware of how many children here are available for adoption. There's a website that DHR maintains for the state, for the DHR, that has the kids on the adoption list. When I was working for them, I had kids who were adopted from that list. More than one time, several times.
I mean, and I guess that's right. I'm sure it's loopholes and cheaper money and Of course, I don't know what the money is to adopt, but I mean, you just see it. I've seen it a lot in my lifetime where people go overseas and
I have too. So. Well, and while I was working for DHR, we had one who a couple went to China and got a child, and for it appeared to me that they went to get a slave.
Wow.
Because when they abused her, when we caught them, they got rid of her.
I can't even imagine China letting you come into their country, adopting one of their kids there. I can't even imagine that.
Oh, they make you pay. They make you stay for 2 weeks and spend a bunch of money, and they didn't. This was a girl who was older and had lived at an orphanage for many years.
Wow.
And the chances of that being successful are low. I mean, I'm not knocking somebody for trying to give a kid a chance anywhere. But you go into it maybe with not the right reasons.
Right. All right, so if you don't mind, we're going to jump to another subject. All right. Our next email come in. And it basically said, look, I work a job here in Coleman. And work a tremendous amount of hours. So we're probably talking 15, 20-hour shifts.
Is this one of these stories, Big D, about my friend said...
Yeah. Look,
no, wait, you don't work in Coleman, right? I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. I don't work in Coleman. I work a long way from here. So anyway, I guess the amount of work that they have to work with no breaks. So their question was, well, if I quit... Could I draw unemployment? Now, is it a factor of what this person may do in the medical field that if they fell asleep by working long hours that it could affect somebody else? So with all this being said, and working those, you know, I mean, this person may work 40 hours in 2 or 3 days. So, you know, I see that. So kind of all three of you, if you want to, just tell me where does this go?
There's not a federal regulation against how many hours you can work in a row unless it's specialty DOT, driving a truck. There are regulations of how many hours you can work in a row. I don't know of any others. Do y'all know of any other fields? There may be nuclear power plant people that can't work.
I think there is some nursing regulations that say if you work in healthcare, in a hospital, how many hours you could work out of 48, but it's an absurdly high number. It's maybe 44 or something, so not really relevant. I may be wrong. I'm not sure.
So if the person takes a chance and just quits and then goes for unemployment, exactly what's going to happen?
They're going to get, what, $210 a week? And that, I mean, that's the problem. That's the issue. You're going from this amount of income working this stuff to unemployment, that there's a maximum on it, and
right.
and that's very little. So that's a risk. If you quit, man, I don't know. That's a tough thing.
If you quit, the employer could challenge your unemployment compensation.
Okay.
It's not an automatic thing. I don't have a job, I get unemployment.
Right.
It could be challenged, and you would have to have a reason for quitting. Now, if it's a physical limitation, I personally know lots of people can work a lot of hours, can work 24 straight. I cannot. I can physically cannot do that. And if you had some medical, if you had a doctor to support that, Big D can't work 24 hours in a row because he's got a back problem or whatever the problem is, then you might be successful. If not, then I don't think you would be successful if the employer challenged it.
Which means they would go to a hearing.
On the phone.
If they challenged
it. On the telephone.
On the phone.
Hearing over the telephone.
Sort of a hearing.
So I guess the person would actually explain, this is why I quit, because of the long hours, because of this, because of that.
And you'd have an opportunity to submit documents before the telephone hearing.
Okay.
But the hearing would be via telephone.
So have you ever heard of anybody actually quitting and actually drawing unemployment at any time? Me personally, I haven't.
Yes.
Have you? Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes they don't challenge it.
Okay.
You know, in your case, they would be happy you were gone.
There would be no challenge.
Not going to challenge.
He may pay time and a half.
He may want to come back if we don't let him have his unemployment.
Oh, me. All right. Well, maybe that answered that email question.
You know, and the other thing is unemployment now is got time limitations too. You get it so many weeks and that's it. So sometimes when you're making them big of a drastic decisions, you got to think about, well, what's the consequences? First of all, your income's going to cut way down, and you're only going to draw it for a certain amount of money, a certain amount of time anyway.
Well, and my thinking, which I don't know, my thinking was that may be to compensate until they found another job. Yeah. That's kind of what my thing. But look, if Obama's in office, well, you can get it for like 9 years unemployment.
Yes.
But now that Trump's in, you better get a job.
There are plenty of jobs out there.
And there he is. There's jobs everywhere. I constantly see on Facebook, okay, people's going, who's hiring? Is anybody hiring in Coleman? Well, yes, they're hiring in Coleman. It's called getting out of the house and getting in your car and going and look. That just irritates the crap out of me, by the way.
I also see a lot of people that make up jobs. They start doing something at home, and they start building something or sewing something.
Exactly.
I think that's, you know, you hear people say, oh, well, the day of the mom and pop store is gone, and that's so depressing. It's really not. Now they're small websites, and you know, the mom and pop store is online.
There's mom and pop stores in Coleman that sell thousands upon thousands of dollars of stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
And now, if they had to rely just on the brick and mortar, the store, they wouldn't make it.
Right.
But they have found a way. They have a small niche market on the internet. And there's several people that I know that do that here and make a good living. There's ways to make money.
Yeah.
You just have to be creative. So look, when I started What's Happening in Coleman, okay, it was a joke. It really was. And I said, if I don't get 50 likes by the end of the week, I'm going to delete the Facebook page. Here I am 2.5 years later, and I think I have 45 sponsors on my page. So I promote small business owners in Coleman, and it's just tremendous. I mean, but it was something that I had to work at 7 days a week. I mean, I literally worked on that page 7 days a week, and I get over 1 million hits every month. So it's just, it's incredible. So, you know, if you're really broke and you're really hungry, you'll find something to do to make some money. I just looked up on What's Happening to Coleman. But Danielle, she does hard work and she brings customers in every day. So that's awesome. All right, so look, we talked about some important stuff. And if y'all want to say something in particular, let's talk about it.
Melvin could tell us about his case in federal court. Melvin's doing some great work for people who are been in trouble, but now are not in trouble and are trying to
correct themselves,
trying to stay straight, trying to have a good life, and the Alabama Supreme Court and other state Supreme Courts have turned our jails into debtors' prisons, and they threaten to put people in jail who don't have money. And I believe in paying your bills. And if they want to chase them during the time that they're on probation, they do whatever they want to do. But now they want to go back. I have clients, and I fought it to start with, and Melvin has taken up the fight, and he's doing great work, that have not been in trouble in 20 years.
Now they have a little cash.
And now they're still having to pay under threat of jail. I don't think that's what the Constitution says.
Exactly. I mean, the prisons are overcrowded unbelievably to this day. So, I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to build some more prisons, or what are we going
to
do?
Well, we criminalize many more things than used to be a crime 25 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, Melvin, tell us a little bit of it. Melvin is the leader on this in the state.
I took up a little issue, and the biggest thing,
thankless and very little money. that he's doing it because that's what he believes in.
A little bit of it's little money for them. It's a lot of money for me. That's what I'm spending. But there are issues, and it happens. There's a couple of other cases across the state where they're doing it, where they are taking people that have been determined to be indigent or poor or can't afford court-appointed attorneys or whatever else. And these people have already served probation, served their sentence. There are instances where people have already served their whole sentence, got out of prison, and like Blake said, 10, 11, 12 years later, everything's over with. Court, I don't think they have jurisdiction, but the court comes back and sets hearings on them and says, you owe this $900, $1,000, $2,000 in restitution court costs. It's not paid, and if you don't show up for a hearing, you get cash bonds, and these people stuck in jail on this. So it's a big deal. We know we're gonna see where it's go. And I'm I'm a victim of a crime. Even as we sit here, I've had money and stuff stolen from me. So I know what it feels like to be a victim. I know what it feels like to have these people that owes money. But as Blake said, I don't think you can just start throwing people in prison for it. There, especially when there's least restrictive ways. And I don't understand why the state doesn't do this. For instance, I'm giving them free legal advice. Why don't you file a civil judgment against them? If you file a civil judgment against these people, you can garnish their wages. You know,
right.
If you file a civil judgment against them, gets a judgment, then you can probably take their tax.
Well, the Russians now hit 7-11. So. But by golly, if they come back here with another bag of rocks, I'm fixing to get ill. I can tell you that right now. Jay, you just sit back here. I know you can't walk much. I'm going to take care of this for you.
I think it has something to do with Jeff Sessions and some of those idiots who grilled him today. But
and the election, you know, they interfere with the election. Now they're interfering with our talk show.
See, that sums up. Something.
They're giving people information they didn't know.
Yep, they are anti-Big D right now, I can tell you that. So look, so supposedly Jeff Sessions has been talking to the Russians or something. I mean, come on. Is it all about Alabama politics all the time? Washington, D.C., here in Alabama?
Maybe I missed something there, but is it bad to be friendly with the Russians?
Well, you know, evidently it is. If you're going against Hillary Clinton, it is.
Do we want to have war? Do we want to have the Cold War again? Why don't we try being nice to them?
Well, you know,
seems like a reasonable idea to me. Hey, let's be nice to these guys who haven't liked us. Maybe they'll start liking us.
Does anybody in that room have a D by your name?
Only me.
We were trying to figure out what D stood for.
Oh, well, okay.
Some very interesting answers to that. That's all I got to say on that.
But, you know, if you were stern like Ronald Reagan was back in the day, you know, but, and of course, maybe there's not been anybody, but, you know, he just kind of told the Russians like it was, you know. And that's the way that everybody should be, but they're not going to be that way. But I really think that Donald Trump is stepping up, you know, in many different areas, and he's doing the right thing, in my opinion, which is all that matters to me, by the way.
I'm just glad our Congress is up there having hearings and all this stuff. Because, you know, our Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. So I guess they got mad when somebody said you can't do that. So they said, well, we'll just waste our time on having hearings on Russians and Comey and firings and everything else. And we'll just forget. We'll forget about everything else. Let's take up the real important stuff. Let's make sure we get Sessions out of here.
They're talking about the Russians tried to influence our election. Well, I hope that there's people in our government that are trying to influence the Russian elections.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Are we not?
Exactly.
If we're not, somebody needs to get over there.
Oh, well, we influence everybody's elections. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we pick and choose what leaders we want. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and backfires on us. But it's just ridiculous that they're wasting time on stuff like this. But I guess somebody go beat their chest and go back to their district and say, told him Alabama's
exactly.
Jeff Sessions. He ain't going to be Attorney General without a fight.
Mm.
Did you hear an Alabamian is going up to be the head of Homeland Security?
Yeah, I've seen something posted about that, yes.
I had a friend. He
we're going to be in charge before long.
He actually worked with Homeland Security when he retired from the Air Force, and I think he really liked the job. I think he had like a 5-year contract, and now he's at the Redstone Arsenal. So
it's an interesting, you know, if you think about what is a politician's goal. To me, is to be able to keep being a politician, not to go back to work.
There you go.
So if you keep that in mind, it's an interesting position for a lot of the Republican people in Congress, because you have to kind of, they're so middle of the road. It's like, well, let's see which way the tide turns. If it looks like it's going to be more beneficial for us to support Trump, we'll do that. But if it looks like something really bad did happen and he may that would turn the public opinion against him, we've got to be ready to jump that ship too, so that we don't go down with him, which is horrible that the government is set up that way.
But you know, I see where people, so I'm not going to take sides, okay? So people are so Democrat, man, but their family's been that way for 100 years. So even though the issues that they deal with really is probably wrong, it really doesn't matter, because they're still going to stick in that Democratic ways. And Republicans, you know, I used to say that I'm a Republican, but I don't say it anymore. Man, I'm just trying to do what I think is right and what should be dealt right within this country. But, you know, some people just will not change their mind because they're so into that Democratic Party and or Republican. But I'm more Republican than I am Democrat, though. But you know, you would think that some people would just open their eyes and actually do the right thing. So here's another thing that gets on my nerves. Local people in different cities in the state of Alabama, they're gonna run to get in Montgomery. And they're all going to say the same thing. I don't care what you say. They're going to say it. We are for the people. We're for the people of Alabama.
And guns.
And they go to Montgomery, and if they're not in that little whirlwind, and they're being, no, this is how you're going to vote, and this is how you're going to do it, and that's exactly how they do it. And that just ticks me off. Because you don't have the, whatever, I'm not going to say it, but anyway, to actually do what's right and vote the way that it should be voted. But no, they are just overcome with all them people that's been down there for 30 years, and then they become right part of it.
Well, that was one of my solutions is, you know, if you've been to the Capitol and you see the scoreboard of how people vote, red, green, all the dots, throw that away. We send them down there. We got to trust them. I don't want to know how they vote.
Right.
Because you know what? If all the votes were secret ballots, then we wouldn't have to worry about which side you're on.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
They'd be voting for things that were good and voting against things that were bad.
Exactly.
If Josh threw up a thing, we've got to have prayer in school every day. And Melvin and I are going, yeah, I'd like that, but it ain't ever going to work. So we vote against it. But now if Josh knows we vote against it, then he's going to vote against us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they're going to tell all of the people that voted for us, oh, Blake and Melvin don't love the Lord. Oh, they're against Christianity.
Yeah.
Bunch of atheists.
No, we're just against throwing away money.
Yeah.
We're in favor of the Constitution. And that's what I say. Do away with that scoreboard. Don't let us know how you vote. We just got to trust you.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of nasty politicians, and I don't care who you are, in Montgomery, and that's just the way it is, you know. So look, I don't like to badmouth people, just a little bit sometimes. So I've got a new guy coming in. I don't know, a week or two, Danielle.
Yeah.
So, man, I hate to say this, but I can't remember his
name. He's Melvin's guy. Melvin knows who he is.
Stacy George. I believe he's actually out of ARAB. And so he's running for governor of Alabama, and he's asked to come on the Big D radio show. So Melvin's going to be come in and be a co-host, and we're actually going to see what his views is as being the governor and what he, you know, wants to do as a governor. I've watched some of his videos live on Facebook. He was actually in Selma today, I think from 11 to 1 p.m. They were doing a big rally down there. So we'll see. And I think he was maybe part of Morgan County Sheriff's Office or something. Is that correct, Melvin? Or do you know?
No, he's a correction officer, isn't he?
Correction officer. Okay.
He's a correction officer for the state. Now, he's from Morgan County, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he was on the Morgan County Commission at one time. But he's a Lacey Springs, ARAB area, 231 area. So he's a good guy. Like I said, he's a pretty good guy. He's the one that ran last time against Bentley.
Okay.
He'll be on the show July the 6th. So
July the 6th, he'll be on the Big D Radio Show, and Melvin and I will be interviewing him and kind of seeing, you know, where he wants to go. But, you know, look, you know, when Bentley was starting his thing, okay, I don't know about y'all, but look, I was kind of convinced that maybe he's a good guy, you know, from what he talked, from what he said, and what he wanted to do for Alabama. And it was just a complete turnaround. I mean, come on. You're just... He done everything wrong. And I don't think he had any regret for anything that he done. So here we go. He's out, and now we have Miss Kay Ivey in there. And so, you know, how much support is she going to get from Montgomery and the state of Alabama to get her reelected?
Hard to say yet. She's doing okay right now. I think Jim Ziegler is probably going to run. He may not if Kay runs. But I talked to Jim several times, and I think he's probably going to run. State auditor will run for governor.
And I read an article on Facebook the other day. Rick Burgess from the Rick and Bubba Show is actually kind of endorsing Scott Dawson, and I think he may be the pastor of the Highlands Church or one of those big churches in Birmingham. So it looks like there's going to be several people running for governor this time. So
it'll be a big field.
It will be, because I think it's June something next year that I guess you put your name on the ballot.
Qualifying's probably in March or April, and then the actual primary election will be June.
So
first Tuesday in June.
Is it like a $10,000 fee that you have to pay or something?
It's 1% of the salary, so I imagine it's pretty good. It's, I bet it's $5,000-$6,000 at least.
No.
Is it not?
No, the salary is about $85,000.
Oh, on the governor's?
Yeah.
Okay, then the fee's not that much then, yeah.
So it'd be about $1,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
I may throw my name in it.
Melvin goes statewide.
Melvin needs a campaign again.
Could you imagine?
Could you imagine how many people I would upset the first week?
I never asked him for trouble.
And look, if you don't
could say, hey, you could send a letter. You could send a letter to this Freedom from Religion group in Madison, Wisconsin.
Exactly.
And tell them to stay out of Alabama, and then that could be your campaign ad. Is what you did.
Yes.
Well, no one in the early election times, no one gave Guy Hunt a chance of winning.
Well, and Melvin and I talked about it because
one gave Bentley a chance in the early days either.
True. But the whole thing with Baxley,
so
and Graddick,
Big D could be right there.
Yeah. So if I could get two guys just trashing each other,
yes,
I'll be Guy Hunt, and I'll just slide right in.
Hey, listen, and you got to remember. The governor now, she ran, well, she qualified as a governor candidate when Bentley first got elected. And she seen that the field was getting big and she probably going to win governor, so she qualified then as a lieutenant governor and won, got reelected as lieutenant governor. Here she is sitting being a governor. So, yeah, a lot of it's just timing and luck and how everything fell in her lap. So,
wow.
Yep.
But can you imagine how much money you have to have, though, for advertising? Holy smokes.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, well, you spend your money at primary. Once you get the primary election, then you're done. But now, I mean, I'm not the insurance companies and the business council and all that. They're going to get behind somebody and they're going to put the money in the primaries. You know, whoever they want, and then if you can knock them off and you win the primary, then you're fine.
You're making, you know, if you're running for office, now is the time when you're making your hay. When you're going to all these businesses and you know, business council and insurance and Alabama Insurers Commission or whatever they're called, and you get their support, that's elections are probably won and lost right now as to where the money's going to go.
Right.
Well, we'll see if the money wins on the Senate election coming up. Because all of the rest of them combined are probably not going to spend a tenth of what Luther Strange is spending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think Luther just got plenty of money to blow.
Well, he has it, and people are behind him.
Exactly.
Because obviously he can be bought.
No, not Luther Strange.
Just promise, you know, just I'll appoint you senator if you don't put me in jail.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So how many Alabama politicians have been put in prison over the last 15 years?
Oh, wow.
Can we count that many?
A lot.
No, well, I'm not going to say they're in jail. They're in luxury jail, I'm sure.
You know,
not the ones.
You don't think all of them?
Some of them were convicted in state court. Larry Langford and all those people down in Birmingham. They went to state prison.
Did they really? Larry Langford
went to federal prison.
I thought he went to federal prison now.
I was at his federal trial. I remember that. So
didn't he get convicted in state court too? Well, they would have put him in federal prison.
He did. But you know, when there's a conflict between a state charge and a federal charge, the feds would control and they could pick him up, and the state would be glad to let them do it anyway because they wouldn't have to pay for it.
Right.
So I think that Larry Langford originally started on Channel 6 in Birmingham, and so he goes from news reporter to getting arrested.
To mayor to...
Yeah. What was he, mayor Bessemer or something, or Fairfield?
Birmingham.
Wow. There you go.
Yes.
And what's that? What's the lady's name that was on Channel 6 that got arrested, it seems like? It seemed like it was like a year ago. But she was doing something, crazy too, and she got caught. Oh, well, I'll think about it later.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, so, look, get in news reporting and you'll end up in jail.
It wasn't Janice Rogers. I see her every morning.
Yeah.
Where do you see her at?
On Channel 6.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant you actually personally think.
Oh.
So, look, why don't we take a second and let Melvin go back over the time that Blake was actually in court and talked his way. Seemed like he was doing a case and kind of doing his smooth talking. Can you tell me about Melvin?
Yeah, we had talked about it. I guess we were talking about jury trials.
Yeah, that's what it was.
We were talking about jury trials, and Blake had a case where I think the guy's defense was that the police department and the prosecutors and everybody else was conspiring against him. And I can't remember what the charge was. Blake would know. And
escape.
Then, yeah, it was an escape charge. Yeah, it was an escape charge. So he... he tried that case in front of a jury, and he got at least a portion of them, not all of them, because they didn't acquit the guy, but he got a portion of them that said they weren't going to vote guilty on it. So he did pretty good on it. I don't know how he convinced them.
You silver-tongued devil.
The guy was in the city when they had the city jail, and then they couldn't find him, and the next time they found him, he was in South Georgia. And for some crazy reason, they wanted to charge him with escape. I couldn't figure that one out.
He may have been doing like garbage detail in South Georgia or something. Nobody knew about it.
It was the jury foreman told me it was 10-2 to let him go. But then I showed my cards and it was mostly bluff
and the next time
it went around, they all found him guilty in a hurry.
Here's an interesting for your listeners. Do you know how you end up on a jury panel?
Tell me.
Driver's license lottery.
So they
have a program that just randomly selects people based on their driver's license. They send them a name.
Well, we are back on air again after... should I joke again or just no? Just let it go.
Oh, my word.
All right, so look, we were talking about state politics. No, we wasn't. We were talking about smooth-tongued Blake Blazing Blake West as he can just talk his way, into a courtroom and do his magic. So if I ever get in trouble, I'll make sure to give you a call, Blake. So.
Do that, and I'll give you Melvin's number.
Then I'm going to jail. Then I'll call the real deal, Josh.
Then I'm
going
to pass you over to the real deal, Josh.
Josh, have I done anything bad against you here lately? I need you on my side, buddy.
No, I'm good.
I'll give you a free pass to a poker game or something.
Josh started a trial yesterday, a criminal jury trial, and he got mistried, though, didn't
it? It did.
Already, the first day?
Had a big technical issue, I think. So we'll get it. He gets another jury, they get another shot at that later on.
The good thing about it was it mistried when the state had put on all their witnesses, so that's not what they're going to say.
And you have a transcript of it.
Yeah, I have a transcript of it.
So was all their witnesses bad or something?
In talking to the jury, I felt pretty good because if they would have had to vote, I think it would have hung. And if it's already going to hang in the state and they finished it, I didn't put on any evidence.
Right. That's pretty well it.
Yeah. So that's usually a good sign. I focus a lot in trials now and explaining to people, try to help them understand what a reasonable doubt really is. You can't just pick a story and think, oh, I believe this one more than the other one. If you think they're both reasonable, I always tell them, I don't care what you believe happened. And exactly. It's obviously he's not guilty because that's not enough.
So, now, Blake, Melvin was telling me a few weeks ago that he was afraid that you didn't know your way to the courthouse because you never go to court anymore.
I don't have to go very often anymore. That's true.
Never. He never. You will never see him. That maybe to get his tag, what, and maybe, well, so he's probably in October, November to get his tag. You'll see him passing then, that'd be it.
I go over to see Darla. She works there. So
he got his wife.
Hey, he knows how to get there. He just don't know where the courtroom's at.
Yes.
The back door.
They put in those monitors just for him.
Litigation was fun, but I like what I'm doing now. Helping the older folks.
So now, are you good friends with all the sheriffs so you don't have to get that metal detector thing checked out on you or anything?
Oh, yeah.
They wand you or anything like
no.
that when they see you coming in?
No. I don't.
Because of Blake.
They put on the red carpet when Blake comes in.
I want to go often enough they don't forget me. That was, you know, when the lawyer, you could get your own little pass, get in the side door.
Yeah.
I didn't do that because I wanted all the people who had guns to know I was one of the good guys. So I wanted to go see them all the time.
Give them some chicken wings.
Yes. Oh, I take them cookies at Christmas. Yes. I got to be nice to them. And that way, if anything happens, I want them to be familiar with me. People that go in the indoor, they may not know them. They won't protect them.
Jeez.
Hey, Big D, I got to tell you, I can't remember. Oh, I was watching it last night. I can't remember what kind of a show it was on. But it's off the subject. We're just talking about a little criminal law and stuff. This guy spent 17 years in prison somewhere. I can't remember where it is. It's out in Midwest, I believe. But he was charged with, like, an armed robbery. And I think it said something about purse. I don't know what the deal was. He must have, like, somebody must have beat up the purse and did something. I don't know, robbed him with a weapon.
Yeah,
I
read
that?
It, yeah.
But it was eyewitness. So the only thing they had against him was an eyewitness says, that's the man that I seen do it. And anyway, he kept saying, I'm innocent, I didn't do this, but the jury didn't believe him, found him guilty. He spent 17 years in prison, and then eventually they said a law class got it's like an innocence project, got involved in his case, got to look at everything else. And I didn't realize this, but they talk about doubles. And they showed last night, they said their statistics said there may be as many as 7 people in the world that looks like us. Mm-hmm. But they showed a picture of the guy that they actually said did this, mm-hmm. and this guy right here that was falsely convicted, and they look absolutely identical.
Wow.
Absolutely. It was unbelievable. And they took that stuff back to the court and showed the pictures, and the other guy had a history of it, you know, that type of stuff. And it was enough to convince the judge to say, you know what, I don't know that you're guilty, and he let him out. But he spent 17
that's
years in
unreal,
prison.
That's unreal, and that's pathetic.
And he had 2 people to testify as an alibi.
Yes,
that he was somewhere else when that happened, and the jury still convicted him.
Eyewitness identification. We learn it in law school about the, you know, they show the pictures, you know, right. You mark off, hey, this is the person, right. Everything else. And but I just didn't realize, I've not had a case like that. Well, I've had a couple of ID cases, but they had other stuff. But that is real important. That was real interesting.
Well, that's like what Josh was talking about, reasonable doubt. You've got the person who got assaulted, never seen someone before, says, that's the guy that did it. You've got 2 other people that know him that said, Josh was with me all night. How does that not create reasonable doubt?
Exactly.
Well, you know, and something that the courthouse in Birmingham is named after one of the more famous jurists from Alabama, Hugo Black, and it's something he said, and people don't understand this sometimes about criminal law. In one opinion, he said, and this always stuck with me, I remember reading this in law school, he said, I'd rather 100 guilty men go free than 1 innocent man be held for a single second. He said that's the purpose of the Constitution, you know, is you're supposed to do everything you can to protect people's rights and make sure. And if you err on the side of a few too many getting away, then that's the purpose. It was interesting if you followed, you know, there was a man who was one of Alabama's longest term residents on death row that was executed a couple weeks ago. Up until he was executed, he maintained his innocence.
But he pled guilty. He actually pled to capital murder in some way and voluntarily took this. And he said, the reason I did this was because I knew that this was the only way I could ever, if I was convicted of regular murder, I would never get these innocence projects and I wouldn't have as many rights to appeal.
Well, look, how long was he on death row? 24 years?
Long time.
30 years? 25, 30 years?
Yeah, it's 30. And only he knows if he done it, but come on, if he did do it and on death row that long, that's pathetic. And you've wasted my money. And if he did do it, he's convicted and he's on death row. And I know Melvin's already explained everything to me a few weeks ago about everything that they can go and do this court, but that's BS is what that is. And that's my opinion. And if you're on death row, then you should be on death row and they should execute you.
Which is one thing is you always hear people say, oh, they shouldn't put these people in prison for life. They should execute them. They don't realize the death penalty is way more expensive than serving life in prison.
I would vote to do away with the death penalty, not because I believe it's wrong.
Just because it's so expensive.
It costs too much.
Yeah.
So tell me, how does it cost too much when I can put a needle in his arm and it'd be done?
Okay.
Because you got to keep him there for 25 years before you do that.
Well, you've got a lot more rights to appeal. Your trial's going to be more expensive. You have to, they're segregated, so they're in individual cells and they have to be bigger. And then you have to keep them under, because even if you've got them convicted, you've got to give them constant psychological evaluation. Because not only do they have to be competent to stand trial, they have to be competent to be executed. So if they have breakdowns, you've got to treat them to keep their sanity up.
Right. That's got to be all this stuff is all crap, okay? Every bit of it's crap, and I don't like any of it. So, they should just execute them.
It costs a lot more to keep someone on death row than it does nursing home.
That's insane.
Really?
Yeah.
It actually ticks me off a little bit. But anyway, thanks guys for being in here on Understanding the Law. Thanks to marvelous Melvin Hasten. Thank you, Blazing Blake, and the real deal, Josh McNeil, right here on Understanding
Blake
the Law.
O'Neill.
O'Neill.
Now you're on the quiet side.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Josh, will you just
shout
out? Oh,
shout out. Our office did move. We're now in the old Nationwide building at 200 2nd Avenue Southeast. Over by the Catholic Church, Sacred Heart Catholic Church.
Josh, as Chad Floyd and I used to say, is living at the foot of the cross.
God bless him. But look, I appreciate all of y'all being in with us, and you'll check me and Melvin out next week. No, well, it'll be Danielle and Melvin next week, and I'll be back the week after. But don't forget the Big D Radio Show this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. We've got several different guests coming in, and one of the guys running for the state of Alabama governor will be in pretty soon. You're listening to Understanding the Law with Big D. God bless you and God bless America.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.